In John's account of the Gospel of Christ, as there are four accounts, but only one Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But this morning, we want to mention about the eight I Ams in John's account of the Gospel of Christ. Let's notice together, to be apart from Christ is to be starving spiritually. As Jesus said, I am the bread of life, John 6:35. To be apart from Christ is to be groping in the darkness. I am the light of the world, Jesus said in John 8:12. To be apart from Christ is to be without access to God. Jesus said, I am the door, John 10:7-9. To be apart from Christ is to be without care and provision of spiritual blessings. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. To be apart from Christ is to be without hope in death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. To be apart from Christ is to be without direction and to be enslaved to error. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. To be apart from Christ is to be as a fruitless branch destined for fire. Jesus said, I am the true vine, John 15:1-5. Yes, Jesus is the true vine, and unless we're attached as a branch, we can do nothing. But through Christ we can do all things that strengtheneth us, Philippians 4:13. One other I am in John's account of the gospel would be I am. As Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, Jesus Christ is eternal. This morning we want to study John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE, and we should all know that stands for, yes, preparing for eternity, and that's the most important thing we could be doing, is it not? Well, we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we gather together in our Bible classes. Of course, we're studying God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. That would be having a proper attitude, but also worshiping God as He has set forth for us to do so. Yes, according to the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will receive a warm welcome. Now, something else we want to mention. We are looking forward to having Bible studies. And we would be glad to set up a time that's convenient for you to sit down and open up God's Word and study together. And of course, if you have Bible questions, we are glad to get those. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, before we get into our study, I want to mention, of course, the fair is already opened, and we're looking forward to meeting a number of people at our fair booth. That would be in the Merchants Building. So we'll hope to see you and meet you. We want to meet everyone, whether they're listeners or not, but we do look forward to that opportunity. We'll have free Bible tracts, free, of course, Bible correspondence courses, a house-to-house, heart-to-heart publication, all free. And so, again, we're hoping to meet a number of folks there during the fair. And so check out our booth if you get a chance. Now, let's get to our study this morning. I am the light, as our Lord and Savior said this when he was in the flesh upon the earth, John 8:12. And so notice Jesus, after saying, I am the light of the world, he went on to say, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So that's the key. If we follow Christ, we will not be in the darkness, but we will have the light of life. So let's keep that in mind. Now let's ask this question. What is the darkness like? Well, it can be felt. If you go back to Exodus chapter 10, notice verses 21 and 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Remember, of course, the 10 plagues God brought upon Egypt. Yes, but not upon the Israelites. The Egyptians were the ones that suffered through those plagues needlessly. But because of Pharaoh, that's what took place. But notice, again, this darkness could be felt. And I can relate to that. I've been in situations where I couldn't see the hand in front of my face. As I was a Navy corpsman attached to the 1st Marine Division in Vietnam, as I left there, I went to Okinawa and was attached to the 3rd Marine Division, where we went out to sea. That was the only time I was aboard ship being in the Navy, but I was attached to the Marines. So we were going to hit the beach with the amphibs in the belly of the ship, had things open back up. Fortunately, that didn't happen. But while out to sea, the South China Sea, we were patrolling. It was dark, very dark that night. Clouds, of course, covering where you couldn't see the stars or the moon. And the ship was darkened on the outside, of course, for a good reason. So I decided to go outside on the deck. And I'll tell you, I didn't stay very long because I could feel the darkness. And so I think most of us probably have been in that situation and can relate to that. But something else, what is the darkness like? It represents sin. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Yes, Paul, the inspired apostle, was sent out missionary journeys. And he started, of course, with the Jews, preaching the gospel, and then he went out, of course, to the Gentile world. And so that was to open their eyes. People have to be receptive to the Word of God and turn from darkness to light. So sin is being represented by darkness. That's being in the power of Satan. So we have to get out of that situation in order to receive forgiveness of our sins and obedience to the gospel. Well, we need to mention this. What is the darkness like? Well, sin darkens the mind. In Romans 1:21, notice, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So, yes, they were not thankful, and because of that, what happened? They began to have vain thoughts. Their imagination was running wild. How do you think the hypothesis of evolution came about? Vain imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. When you turn away from God, how did you come about? So they had to come up with an explanation. And it was not a good one to think that we evolved from lower species. There are no in-betweens. In between one kind and another. You can't interbreed from one kind to another. There's no facts to prove it. Not a one. I've never seen a fact showing evolution is true. Have you? Well, you may have heard assumptions. What could be, maybe. You're not going to see a fact either because they don't exist. God created all things in 6 literal days. And it didn't take millions and millions of years for things to get where they are today. That's right. We need to educate our children, grandchildren, because they're getting an indoctrination, being told this is fact. Well, the point is, see, that's sin darkening the mind. We need to be very aware of this. And something else, Satan rules over darkness. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So God the Father is translating us into the kingdom of Christ when we obey the gospel. In other words, we're being added to the Lord's church by the Lord Himself when we submit to the Lord's will in obedience to the gospel of Christ, Acts 2:47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We don't want to be in Satan's kingdom, do we? We don't want to be under the power of darkness. Of course not. People don't realize that's what they're actually in, the kingdom of Satan. That's darkness. We need to be in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, be in the church of Christ. Something else, as we're looking at what is the darkness like, well, it was a part of the crucifixion. We need to mention this. Matthew 27:45, now from the 6th hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the 9th hour. This is very befitting, isn't it? As Jesus was innocent, without sin, there was no guile in His mouth. But yet, He was put to death. But it was for our sins, certainly not His. He carried the burden of all the sins of mankind. Of course, being with total darkness over the land until the 9th hour from the 6th hour. There was that kind of darkness. That's very befitting, is it not? But let's ask another question. Why would anyone want to live in darkness? Well, they really don't understand that's where they're at. No, but let's answer the question. Why would anyone want to live in darkness? Because they're deceived. Yes, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. People are deceived. Satan uses 3 avenues of temptation: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see that in Genesis chapter 3. You see it in Matthew 4 when Satan tempted Christ. And you see it in 1 John 2:15-17. These three avenues of temptation are used to blind the minds of them so they don't believe. So they're not doing the will of God. So they're staying in the darkness. They're not accepting the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. That's one answer. But here's another, as pride causes many to shun the light of the gospel. And of course, the pride of life was one of the three avenues of temptation, was it not? Look at Matthew 18, 3 and 4, if you're not driving, of course, and hopefully you have it put to memory. And this is Jesus, and he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children," not in behavior, no, but notice, "ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Have we humbled ourselves, opened our mind to the truth, got out of deception, and we're wanting to do the will of God, not our own? But you see, pride is going to prevent people from accepting the truth. As Satan told Eve, "Ye shall be as gods," little g. In other words, he was saying, you do not need God, as you are your own God. Now, how many people today could care less about the will of God, but they sure are concerned about how they think things are to be, and they push ungodly philosophy on society, thinking this is the way to live, but they've left out God. You see, they're not humbling themselves to do the will of God because of pride. And you ask the question again, why would anyone want to live in darkness? Because they think they're right, and they're not looking at the will of God to get out of darkness. Here's another reason, or another answer, why would anyone want to live in darkness? It's not a reason, it's an answer to the question. That is, many love the pleasures of sin and reject the light. Notice John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Did we understand that? Loved darkness. Why would anyone want to live in darkness? Because they love it. The pleasures of sin are involved here, obviously, rather than being in the light. They don't want their deeds exposed, you see, because their deeds were evil. They love the darkness rather than the light. And how many people today are living it up, doing whatever they want? Sexual perversion, we're having homosexuality accepted in society with so many people today, and if you speak out against it, you're labeled a homophobe and a lot of other things too. But sin is sin, whether society sees it that way or not. And God hates sin. Now, he loves the sinner. And I, as a preacher of the gospel, I need to preach against sin. I'm not hating the sinner, though. I'm caring about them and want to see them get out of sin. I want to emphasize that. This is about sin. It's not about the person that has a soul worth more than all the world. I'm not hating them at all. It's just the opposite. I'm loving their soul and wanting to see it saved. But you see, a lot of people are not aware that pleasure is but for a season. In Hebrews 11:24-25, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, there are pleasures in life that a Christian can enjoy that is not sinning. You know, we can be involved in sports when we're not to be in the services of the church, when we're not forsaking our duty as a Christian. We can enjoy, of course, being together as Christians and our family relationships and all those things. That's not sinful activity. But when we're putting the pleasurable things before God, that's the problem, you see. So we want to make that distinction. And we need to point this out. There will be no pleasure in hell, but there will be darkness forever. Think about that. Total darkness forever. Matthew 25:30, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Well, that gives us something to think about. And we need to, of course, stay in the light as Jesus is in the light, having a cleansing of our sins as we are remaining faithful in the Lord's church, having obeyed the gospel. Now, there is only one way out of darkness. We need to understand this point. "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." John 12:46. Of course, this is not just saying I believe. The devils believe and tremble, as you see in James chapter 2. So it's not just believe only. Belief is a part put for the whole, figure of speech. Of course, it implies that we're to do all the acts of obedience in order to obey the gospel, believing after hearing the truth, then repenting of our sins, confessing Christ with the mouth, and then to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and then to live faithfully, even unto death. So all that is involved. We must follow the teachings of Christ to have the light of life, as we started out with John 8:12. Again, notice, Jesus said unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me," we emphasized that, did we not? "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So there's a condition to receiving forgiveness and being in the light as he is in the light. So we must open our minds to God's Word. In fact, Psalm 119:130 tells us, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs 4:23. Is our heart open to the Word of God? The light of Christ is manifest through the gospel. Only Christ can replace darkness with light as we obey the gospel of Christ. After one obeys the gospel of Christ, of course he must keep walking in the light, being faithful. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all our sins, 1 John 1:7. And something else we want to mention before our time is gone. Christians are to reflect the light of the sun, capital S-O-N. Matthew 5:16, we want to note, but let's go back to verse 14. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." In Matthew 5:16, Jesus said to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Yes, to glorify our Father in heaven. What would the world be like without any light? Well, of course, in the physical sense, we couldn't live. We have to have light. Yes, the sun provides that. but and heat, of course, from the sun. But we're speaking of what would the world be like without any Christians reflecting the light of Christ. Oh, I shudder to think. It would be like in the days of Noah, where they're all continually thinking on evil, except Noah and his family, thankfully. Well, as Christians, let's ask ourselves, do our lights still shine brightly? Or have we allowed society to put out our light? Well, hopefully that's not the case. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Philippians 2:15. We need to be shining forth. We need to be shouting from the rooftop. Get back to the Bible. Our nation will not survive this ungodly perversions that are being pushed, transitioning little children, trying to change their sex. All this stuff is terrible. And this is a crooked and perverse nation without question. In Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So as we close out our study this morning, light and darkness are not compatible. You shine in the light, the darkness is dispelled. You take away the light, then you're in the dark, in sin. Christ is the light of the world. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. One cannot be a nighttime Christian, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. John 11:10. We must not die in darkness in our sins, because we will never leave the darkness. As we said before, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And verse 46 in Matthew 25, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. We need to study God's word. We need to hear the truth. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Now we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Not belief only, not faith only, not grace only. We're believing that Jesus is the Christ, and we need to submit to his will. John 8:24. The next step then would be repentance, changing our will and ready to do God's will, leaving a life of sin. Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. That would be Romans 10:9-10, Matthew 10:32-33. And then we're ready to be baptized. For what purpose? For the remission of our sins, forgiveness of our sins. And we're being buried into the death of Christ, Romans 6:3-6. We come up out of the water to walk in newness of life, and the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful even unto death. And we thank you so much for listening today.